Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Robert Venable, inviting you to stay tuned for the next 30 minutes to Let's Talk About Jesus. We're so glad to be with you today. All of you in Madison that listen regularly to this broadcast, we welcome you back. And those of you that may be a first-time listener, we are so very, very honored and glad that you have tuned in today. If you're just scanning across the dial and you're saying, well, now the music stopped and some preacher is going to get on here and rant and rave for 30 minutes, I want you to know that I will try not to rant, but I might rave a little bit about Jesus today. This gospel of Jesus Christ is such a powerful, powerful gospel and such a precious gospel. Would you stay tuned for 30 minutes and listen to why we Christians are so excited about Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Just don't turn that dial for a little while and learn something from this holy book, the Bible, and learn something about this holy God and His wonderful plan of salvation. We love you today in the Lord. We're glad you're with us. If you're listening by computer, welcome. As this gospel and this broadcast streams by computer to anywhere on the World Wide Web, which is anywhere in the world. We welcome you if you're listening from another country today, another state today. I'm glad you discovered this great station and through it that we're able to share a time of devotional, instructional, inspirational content with you around the Word of God. This is going to be a fast 30 minutes. We better get right into it today. I'm going to talk to you today about the two greatest goals of the Christian life, to know Christ and to make Him known. After you become a Christian, God has some goals for you to achieve and for me to achieve. And one of them is to know Him. And I don't mean just to know Him as a great Savior, a wonderful Savior, but to know Him intimately, to know Him personally, and to make Him known. Amen. Someone has aptly stated, the danger in the Christian life is not that we will aim too high and miss. It's that we will aim too low and hit our target. When we settle for spiritual mediocrity and lukewarmness instead of fervently seeking and serving the Lord, when we are satisfied with the practice of our religion without the pursuit of fellowship with Christ, when all our time and energy is focused on our material, physical, emotional needs, at the expense of our mandate from God to win others to Christ, our aim is too low. You know one thing that I am still continuing to do? I have been saved since I was 21 years old. I am going on 62 in January, January 20th to be exact. I'll be 62 years of age, and I am still pursuing the knowledge of God. Amen. Not because it's too high and too far, far-fetched that we could never, ever obtain it. We spend our life frustratedly trying to figure Him out. No, God is infinite, I agree, but I'm talking about He is so great and gracious in love, and His character is so beautiful that all of these years I still make discoveries in the Word of God and in my relationship with Him that take me back and leave me with my jaw dropped in awe of the wonder and the glory of His person and His great plan of salvation. We used to sing the great song, Who Am I, that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would say, not mine, but thine for? Wonderful song, but did you know something? It's getting a little difficult for me to sing it because someone far greater than a earthly king, or even far greater than just a heavenly king, has died for us and given His life for us. Very God took on flesh and came into this world and went to the cross to take your place and mine. Yes, your place and mine. I'm going to tell you something. I was a sinner before I got saved, and so was every Christian. Amen. We still have sins of omission and commission, but we are not under sin's power and sway any longer. We choose to follow Christ, and when we stumble at following Him, we repent and we get up because we've received a brand new nature, all because Jesus came into our world. And I'm telling you, friend, today Jesus would love to come into your personal world. You can know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and then you can progressively know Him who you have believed. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. And it was through that intimate personal knowledge that he said, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that I've committed against that day. Amen. He committed his eternal soul and destiny to Christ safekeeping. And what he knew about Jesus gave him such consolation that he said, there is absolutely no doubt where I'm going to go when I draw my last breath. There's no doubt that heaven is going to be my home. I have committed this to the hands of one that I know, and through that knowledge I trust. Praise God. To know Christ and to make Him known should be the greatest consuming passion of the Christian life. If you decide this very day to seek to know Him more perfectly and intimately and to share Him more effectively, I believe we'll experience a fresh move of the Holy Spirit in our personal lives, and that our churches will experience both wind and fire as we purpose in our hearts to win others to Christ. Not just the ever-present winds of opposition and fires of persecution, but the mighty wind of the Spirit and fire of the Holy Ghost, that this may be truly the year of the favor of the Lord. I want this to be a productive year in my life. Amen. I want to know Jesus Christ, and I want to make Him known. Hallelujah. To know Christ more perfectly and intimately, Philippians 3 and verse 10 says, and this is Paul's writing to the church at Philippi, he said, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. I love the amplified explanation of this scripture or exposition of this scripture. He says in the amplified, for my determined purpose is that I might know Him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of His person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from His resurrection, which it exerts over believers, and that I may so share His sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into His likeness, even into His death in hope. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, to know Him intimately and personally will begin to qualify us to make Him known. Not just by what we say, but what we are, what we are becoming. Paul's passionate desire to know the Lord caused him to seek Him with ardent love and singular purpose. He said, that I might know Him. And that was a constant, a reoccurring theme in this great apostle's life. Friend, I want you to know that God wants us to know Him. Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24 says this, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Everywhere you see glory, it is the word boast or to brag. But let them that glorieth or boast glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. You know, some have taught that God is so infinite and mysterious that he is incomprehensible. But Adam certainly knew him. They had fellowship with one another before sin separated them. And the promise of the new covenant includes the personal knowledge of God. Oh, the Lord longed for a day when that sin barrier could be broken down and we could come into his presence and we could begin to understand his person. Jeremiah 31:31-34 talks about the new covenant or the New Testament. You know, your Bible has an Old Testament and then a New Testament to make up the whole of it. The actual words for testament in both cases is better rendered covenant. And I want you to listen to what God said he would establish and bring forth in the new covenant through Jesus Christ. Listen to this. Jeremiah 31:31-34. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband to them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. In that statement of absolute and complete forgiveness is our great hope and promise of being able to have fellowship with him because we have been reconciled to him. In Paul's prayer for the Christians at Ephesus, it's clear he wants them to really know him, not Paul, but the Lord. Ephesians 1:15-20 says, Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know, see, through that knowledge of him, that you might know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. See, Paul talked about that. I want to know him, amen, in the fellowship of his suffering, that I might also know him in the power of his resurrection. And verse 19 says, And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places? It was Paul's personal knowledge of God that gave him such unswerving assurance and faith. Hallelujah. Oh, friend, today I want you to know that God wants you to know him, primarily as your personal Savior, but progressively, amen, as your heavenly Father, as your dearest friend, as your confidant, as your counselor. Hallelujah. Amen. To be called the friend of God is one of the most astounding statements in all of the Bible, because we were by nature born into a fallen world and were by nature the children of wrath. And God loved us enough to seek us for reconciliation. The Bible said the just is suffered for the unjust that he might bring us to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Most of our emphasis is on heaven and not him. But the reason that he's bringing us to heaven is so we can be with him. God wants fellowship with you and fellowship with me. But sin has separated us. And that's why he sent his Son and our Savior Jesus Christ, the just one, to suffer for the unjust ones, that he might just get us into heaven, just have us escape hell and go to heaven. No, it's deeper than that. It's broader than that. That he might bring us to God, to know him and to have intimate, personal fellowship with him. Hallelujah. That's what Paul's passion was, that I might know him, and it gave him such absolute confidence. Amen. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, "Wherefore I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that I have committed unto him against that day." Hallelujah. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I love this statement by Dr. Bob Moorhead from his book, Words Aptly Spoken. And the title is The Fellowship of the Unashamed. If you're a Christian today and you're not seeking to know the Lord and stand strong for him, I want you to consider right this very moment of standing up for Jesus, praise God, and joining the fellowship of the unashamed. Listen to what Bob Moorhead says. He said, "I'm part of the fellowship of the unashamed. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of Christ Jesus. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I am finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, chintzy giving, and dwarfed goals. I no longer need preeminence, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I now live by presence, lean by faith, love by patience, lift by prayer, and labor by power. Listen to this. My pace is set. My gait is fast. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My way is rough. My companions few. My guide reliable. My mission clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, deterred, lured away, turned back, diluted, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of adversity, negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I am a disciple of Christ Jesus. I must give until I drop, preach until all know. And when my time is up, he will have no problem recognizing me. My colors will be clear. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ." Hallelujah. Praise God. I believe him. How about you today? That is a turned on believer that's going to seek to know the Lord progressively because of the fire in his bosom. And through that fire in that bosom is going to be a witness to others. And they are going to come to know Jesus. Praise God. Amen and amen. I love the amplified of that. Words of Paul, he said, "For I know, perceive, have knowledge of, and am acquainted with him whom I have believed, adhered to and trusted in and relied on. And I am positively persuaded that he's able to guard and keep that which has been entrusted to me and which I have committed to him against that day. C.H. Spurgeon writes, "No subject of contemplation will tend more to humble the mind than the thoughts of God. But while the subject humbles the mind, it also expands it. Nothing will so enlarge the intellect, nothing so magnify the whole soul of man, as devout, earnest, continued investigation of the great subject of deity. So go, plunge yourself in the Godhead's deepest sea. Be lost in His immensity, and you shall come forth as from a couch of rest, refreshed and invigorated." Praise God. Our first great passion, my brother and my sister, should be to know Him. And the second is to make Him known. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into this marvelous light." I want to zero in the praises. This is not just our hands raised on Sunday morning. Did you know a lot of people don't see that? They don't see us worshiping our God with our mouths ringing out praises, or our hands raised, or our banners flying. The Greek word for praises is areteia, which means virtues or moral excellencies. The Amplified says it well, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own purchased special people, that you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." It's showing Christ's character through our lives. Amen. And see, coming to know Him and seeking to know Him, we'll be able to reflect Him to this world about us. The Bible said in the New Testament, "As we behold as in a glass His face, we are changed into His image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of God." Literally, as we see in the Word of God His true nature and character reflected, we then begin to be changed by the Holy Spirit and start reflecting that very character to the world. Praise the Lord. God made us who we are so we can show the world who He is. Hallelujah. Praise God. Before we can share Christ with the world effectively, we must show Christ to them. The world about us doesn't need another definition of Christianity. It needs desperately a demonstration. I love this preacher's true story today as we come to the end of this. I told you it was going to be a quick 30 minutes. Listen to this. He said, "I was walking down the street in Philadelphia, and a bum came toward me. I mean a dirty, filthy guy. He was covered with soot from head to toe. You couldn't believe how messed up he was. He had this huge beard, and there was rotted food stuck in the beard. And as he approached me, he held out a cup of McDonald's coffee and said, 'Hey, mister, want some of my coffee?' I looked at his dirty, filthy personhood and said, 'Thanks, but that's okay,' and I walked by him. The minute I passed him, I knew I was doing the wrong thing, so I turned around and said, 'Excuse me, I would like some of your coffee.' I took some of the coffee and sipped it and gave it back to him. I said, 'You're being generous? How come you're being so generous today?' And the bum looked at me and said, 'Because the coffee was especially delicious today. And I think when God gives you something good, you ought to share it with people.'" Hallelujah. In order to be an effective witness for Christ, we must first be an effective witness to Him. The preacher then asked, "What can I share with you?" expecting the man to ask for money. The guy simply said, "A hug." The preacher embraced him and said, "I felt that for an instant I was hugging Christ. Listen, folks, when we model God's love by loving one another and by loving the people about us for whom Christ died, we make Him known. Our witness has import and impact. The Holy Spirit in us will love others through us. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says, "But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the world." This is not just a power to do, but it is power to be. Praise God. Amen. Let me give you an example. This is a true account. And I'll close with this wonderful story of how Doug Nichols, the International Director of Action International Ministries, made the excellencies of God known in a tuberculosis sanitarium in India in 1967. He was a missionary with Operation Mobilization and got TB, tuberculosis. He was in the sanitarium for several months. He tried to give tracts and copies of the Gospel of John away, but no one would take them. They didn't like him and assumed he was just another rich American. At one point for several nights, he would wake up coughing at 2 a.m. He noticed a little old emaciated man trying to get out of bed. The man couldn't stand up, and he began to whimper. He lay back into bed. In the morning, the stench in the ward was terrible, and everyone was angry at the old man for not containing himself. The nurse who cleaned up even smacked the old man for making such a mess. The next night, the very same thing happened. Doug woke up coughing with his own terrible sickness and weakness. He saw the old man try again to get out of bed. Again, he couldn't stand and began to cry softly. Doug got out of bed and went over to the old man. The man cowered with fear, but Doug picked him up with both arms, carried him to the bathroom, which was just a hole in the floor, and then brought him back. The man kissed him on the cheek as he put him down in his bed. At 4 a.m., another patient woke Doug with a steaming cup of tea and made motions that said he wanted a copy of the booklet, The Gospel of John. Through that whole day, people kept coming to him and asking for his booklets, even though he could not speak their language. In other words, one way to declare the excellencies of God is to act them out. When we act out the excellencies of God, people will hear them and with even greater eagerness, which is just another way of saying that our identity, who we are, is for the sake of God. God made us who we are to show the world who He is. And friend of mine, today, if you're a Christian, I pray that you will seek to know Him as Paul sought to know Jesus Christ. And through that knowledge of Him, begin to be transformed in our own character so that we can do more than tell the world about Jesus Christ, so that we can show the world Jesus. Preacher friend of mine, don't just preach Jesus from the Scripture. Amen. Let's flesh Him out. Let's flesh Him out to the world about us. Ben Kingsley won an Oscar for his role playing Gandhi. And he said the Oscar should go to Gandhi. All I did as an actor was flesh Him out. Today, let's flesh out Jesus to the world about us. And friend, today, if you're not a Christian, the beginning of this whole process of knowing God is accepting Christ as your personal Savior. Sin has separated us from God. He came in flesh. He sent His Son to die upon the cross, the just suffering for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. Won't you let Him bring you to God today, reconcile you to your Heavenly Father? Would you open your heart right where you are? Right where you are, and just ask Him to forgive your sin and receive Him into your heart as your Lord and personal Savior. Heaven will be your home, but you will also come to the personal knowledge of this great, wonderful God. Well, our time is gone. Would you come back next week and let's talk about Jesus?